Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
We're joined by John Giles. Evening, John.
Evening, Nathan.
So we were just listening to Mauricio Pochettino there during the news round. He was been asked about Spurs' dip in form and whether this had anything to do with this book he has released with Guillaume Balague, which is essentially a diary of last season. And it's interesting from an outside observer. It's always interesting to get an insight into dressing rooms. Is that the sort of thing that does disrupt dressing rooms when players are picking up a book? And probably even worse, they're not picking up the book. They're getting secondhand information from family and friends about what's said about them. Is it the sort of thing a manager should be doing at this stage of the season?
He shouldn't be doing it at any stage of the season, Nathan. It's absolutely deadly because you're building up, and Pochettino, I think, has built up a good relationship with the players. I think they actually like him. Now, whether they like him as much now as they did beforehand, I don't know. But it's a delicate situation at Spurs because I would say the Spurs players wouldn't be very well disposed towards the chairman, for example, because he's the man that's doing the money and he's not paying them as well as they should be paying them, in my opinion, and they're not paid as well as some other players in other clubs. Now, Pochettino has to coach them and they would know that this particular problem has nothing to do with him. And he would be separate from them because he's coaching the players and I think he had a very good relationship with them. Now, when you write a book, you've got to put something in it, and especially one of those books that he's written where it's inside the dressing room and there's details and stories, I believe, I haven't read the book, would be told in the book that you should definitely keep to yourself and the players. There's always a bond, or mostly always, a bond between the players and the manager. I think there was a particularly tight bond between him and the players.
Mm.
And I did see in the paper recently that a few of the players weren't happy with the book. Now, players are never happy when you're divulging information that happens in the dressing room or happens between you and the players. And you have to ask yourself as well, Nathan, why would he want to do that book? What gain? What gain is there in it?
Because it's an opportunity for him to put down his philosophy in football and basically advertise his wares.
Well, I don't think it's quite that. I mean, from what I read in the paper this morning, he was actually given inside information with his relationship with the players and what he said to the players. I mean, in fact, one of the papers I read this morning that Dyer wasn't very happy because he said that in the book that Dyer was cozying up to Mourinho when there was talk about him maybe going to Manchester United. Now, that's not very good. You know, that relationship between player and manager should be very, very close, and what happens in the dressing room or with the players stays in the dressing room with the players. But again, I'd have to ask anybody, you Nathan now, why would he want to do this book? What gain is there in it for doing this book?
It doesn't seem to make any great sense from his point of view. As I say, from the outside, it's brilliant that we do get this look inside what happens in the Spurs dressing room. But you got to wonder what the benefits are. And even right at the start of the book, he talks a lot about this defeat to Newcastle at the end of the previous season where they lose 5-1 and he feels very let down by the players. Yeah. And he mentions how he gets a text message that evening from Harry Kane, almost apologising, but also thanking Pochettino for everything he's done that season. Mm. Now, you do wonder then, was Harry Kane the only person to text him that evening, or was there a particular reason why he put in that Harry Kane had texted him and he didn't mention other players who texted him?
Well, one thing that you should learn in football, in my experience in football, is whatever happens between you and the players, or a player, stays between you. Okay, it's great for the public to get an insight, as they call it, into what's happening in the dressing room. But it's the worst possible thing that can happen to the players, Nathan. There's a bond between the manager, most managers and players, there's a bond and there's an element of trust. And that's can be a very fragile relationship. So you never go out of your way, if there's a bond between the manager and the players, for the manager to break that bond or possibly break that bond. And I think that's what he's done here. He's put out in the public domain things that happened in the dressing room or happened between him and players. Of course, it's good reading and it's great for the public and it's great for the journalists and everything else. But for the relationship between the manager and the players, which is far more important to the club and to the team than his relationship with the press. It's absolutely deadly.
Does it show how delicate a situation it is at Tottenham with the money side of it? And the message he's giving the players, I guess, is that it's us against the world. I want to be Tottenham's greatest ever manager. Harry Kane, you can be their greatest ever striker. Dele Alli, you can go get legendary status at this club with me. But you left to accept being paid slightly less or markedly less than you would at Manchester United or another club. But we're all in this together. And the slightest crack means that you could have massive issues and it could have massive ramifications down the line.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the relationship between the players, I think, and Levy would not be good because he definitely doesn't pay them the going rate. And you saw Rose objecting to publicly there a short while ago. Now, I think the players could go to Pochettino and he could say, look, lads, I'd love to do it for you, but I can't. My relationship with you is on the playing side and that's all I can do. I can't help you in the relationship. So they would eliminate him from the problems that's happened on the financial basis. And they would have a working relationship with him that is separate from the working relationship with the chairman, which is about money. But then Pochettino goes then and writes a book, in my opinion, which can easily destroy that relationship that he has with the players, which is very, very important. And I'm not saying it's destroyed it, but it certainly hasn't done his relationship with the players any good. And it was totally unnecessary. He didn't have to write a book. He didn't have to tell the world what was going on inside the club. Nobody expects that. Of course they enjoy it. But you ask the players, do they like it? No player likes it.
What did you make of Pep Guardiola's behaviour on the full-time whistle last night when he confronted Nathan Redmond? And at first it looked as though he was confronting him in a quite aggressive manner. Guardiola says afterwards in his press conference he's complimenting him. He's a huge admirer of what Redmond does and he's just telling him he wants to see more of him. What a player he could be if he did do a little bit more of the good stuff. Is it appropriate for an opposition manager to speak to a player like that after a game?
I wouldn't think so. And I don't see why you should bother. You know, it's not his player. And in fact, the worse that Redmond plays for Southampton, the better it is for him most of the time, especially when you play against him. I don't understand that, Nathan, to be honest. I mean, he probably means well and goes to the player, but it's not his player. You know, he's a Southampton player. He's enough problems of his own, enough things to do in his own club without be worrying about what Redmond is doing for Southampton. And I wouldn't say it was bad, but I wouldn't say it was appropriate either. I mean, if I were the Southampton manager, I wouldn't be too happy about it. Where the opposing manager is telling one of your players how they can be better. I mean, that's the manager's job of Southampton to do that. It's not Guardiola's. He's enough on his plate to get his own players to play better.
Yeah. Again, another late win for Manchester City last night. It was a stunning goal from Raheem Sterling with pretty much the last kick of the game. Yeah. And we've seen it week in, week out from Sterling this season, important goals. His turnaround under Guardiola this season, considering it looked as though he might be on his way out during the summer, and the work that Guardiola seems to have done one-to-one with him, is that what you put this down to, Guardiola taking a special interest in Sterling?
Well, I think when you're a manager, Nathan, you take a special interest in everyone. My time in management, I believed on the one-to-one. That's where you do the real coaching. You know, people say, well, the badges are this, the badges. The badges teach you how to work with a group of players doing a particular exercise. But the one-on-one, I think, was the important one. You're the one that's dealing with the player in what he's good at or what you want better from him. And that becomes a relationship as well. And I think that's what Guardiola does. And I think that's the best form of coaching. Of course, you have to train and you've got to do exercise. You've got to do crossing and all that. But I think the major part, in my opinion, of my experience with managers, is the one-on-one, where you're telling him what he's doing wrong, how he can be right, how he can be better. There's a relationship, a confidence builder. There's all those particular aspects of it when you're on the one-to-one. So, of course, you'd have to. That's what good managers do when they go in. They improve players on an individual basis. And if you improve them on an individual basis, then they become better and better for the team. So I think he has done that.
Yeah.
with Sterling. But I think the main thing from Guardiola, if you see him, he's been more excited in the last two matches because they've scored late goals to win than there has been in other matches where they've won easily, maybe 3 or 4 or 5, Nathan. And that's because he's actually encouraging the players and insisting that no matter what the score is and how late the game is, to continue to do the right things. And doing the right things is being patient, not hoofing the ball in the middle all the time, which is, it's an easy way out, to keep doing it. If it's right in the first minute, it's right in the last minute. And the fact that they've won the two matches in that way confirms his beliefs to the players, because there's nothing better for, from a player's point of view or from the manager's point of view, that if you ask the players or tell the players to do this and it actually works out well, then you don't have to tell them again and it becomes part of their belief. That's what happened with Ferguson. When Ferguson was doing it, remember Fergie time, Nathan? Now, Fergie time was because they scored a lot of goals in extra time in the match. But that didn't happen accidentally either. That happened because he drilled into those players that were young players at the time that if it's right in the first minute, it's right in the last minute. But have the nerve to do it. Don't go. You have to go against the crowd sometime. Oh, get the ball in the box. Keep doing it. If it's the right thing to do, it's the right thing to do. And keep your nerve. Even though it's getting to the last kick of the game, keep your nerve and do the right things. And that's proved to be the case for him, particularly in the last two matches.
Does that also then unnerve the opposition that you're not going to change? That even though you should be getting desperate, even though you've done so well to hold it to 1-1, actually we know these guys aren't going to wilt?
Oh, definitely. Because, you see, what a lot of teams do, they back off, you know, they're going to defend it. And you play into their hands by knocking it in the middle because they've got a lot of players back. We've seen it so often. But if you're playing against a team that's not doing that and they're knocking it wide and they're starting again and they're starting again and they're doing the right things, then you know you're up against something different. And especially in Guardiola, you see him jumping all over the place the last two matches because he would be telling those players, this is what I want to do. This is what I, but I haven't seen this season when it's got that late that they have to continue doing it. And when it happens and they win, he doesn't have to tell the players anymore. It's worked. The players know. We can do, next time we're in this situation, we'll continue to do it. And it gets better and better. But he had to show the nerve in the first place. Now, the manager has to lead the way and say, I'll insist on you, keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. So that's part of his philosophy overall for football. And the players will buy into it like they did, in my opinion, in Barcelona. The more it goes on, the more they buy into his philosophy. And the more they buy into his philosophy, the better they become then.
Just going back to that one-to-one training then and what Guardiola's done over the course of the summer with Sterling and also probably with John Stones and the improvement we saw with him before his injury. When you were doing one-to-one training, was that spread evenly across the group or would you have had special projects, guys who you felt you could pick out who would have a huge influence if you could just get that little bit more out of them that you would spend more time with?
No, it wasn't a question of getting more out of them, Nathan. And you wouldn't spend more time with the other. You'd spend more time with the people who needed it. You know, like you'd get certain players who very seldom do anything wrong. They're the really great players. There are bits and pieces, of course, but there's some people who need it more than others, you know, where you'd have to repeat it a bit more and there'd be a certain type of personality. You couldn't be too hard on them. You could be a bit easier than you could on others. It's all that sort of different interpretations of what you need and what your relationship with them is. My take on management when I was in it at night was actually to get inside the player's head, you know? Like, for example, if the midfield player in one of the matches wasn't getting back as quickly as he could, right, you could tell him on the Monday, I know what you were doing there. I know what you were thinking. Do you remember that particular? This would only be an incident, you know? Wouldn't look important. Do you remember that incident when you weren't getting back as much as you should? The players know, and the player would say, yes, don't let it happen again. It means, whatever you do, I'll see what you're doing. So don't do it again.
Again, with the great players, do you have to have that conversation, do they just know?
Very seldom.
Yeah.
Very seldom. With great players, they're always little bits and pieces. For example, the midfield player could be a great player, but occasionally he's getting ahead of the ball a little bit more than he should. Maybe just a little bit. and you can relate to him and he can relate to you. Do you remember that particular incident when you got ahead of the ball? You could have said, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I'll know next time not to do it. They're all, it's made up of a million different things, Nate. And you know, obviously the better the player, the less you have to tell him, or the less you have to relate to him. But if you can relate to him and understand that what he was thinking and doing in that particular position, then it's a huge help.
All right, you can get your text in for John, 53106. Stay with us, John. We're going to talk about Sam Allardyce's appointment at Everton, but we'll just take a quick break.
Off the ball.
In association with AIR. Watch 42 live Premier League games this season on the AIR Sport Pack.
This is News Talk.
You're welcome back. John Giles is on the line. John, I want to talk about Everton and Sam Allardyce in a moment, but just Wayne Rooney's goal last night, the third goal for his hat-trick from inside his own half. He says it's possibly the best he's ever struck a ball. Technically, how difficult is it to do what he did last night?
Well, I think for a player like Rooney, it's not actually that difficult, Nathan. You know, the ball was coming back to him at an angle and he knew he had to obviously get over it. And particularly with the outside of his right foot and the position he was in, you get a little bit of bend on it. So, now, don't take me wrong. He took it brilliantly and the technique was good. But I'd say if you put it up to him again to do it right away, I'd give him an 80 to 90% chance of doing it again.
Right. Does that make it less impressive? Or is that his talent?
No, not at all. I mean, if Sam Allardyce was playing and did it, I'd say it was a miracle. and many other players. No, not for Rooney, though. Rooney would... like, it'd be like if Beckham was in that position. I think Scholes, if he was in that position...
It comes more easy to some than others.
Particularly there with the state of the pitches, Nathan. And the ball is a bit lighter and it's probably easier than it used to be. But it's not easy. But I think it's relatively easy for players with the ability of Rooney.
That performance he put in last night, albeit against a pretty terrible West Ham side at the moment. When you spoke previously about Rooney maybe dropping deeper and being able to be more influential in games from a deeper role, is that sort of what you were thinking about, what he could do, getting up and down the pitch and those lovely neat touches in the middle of the field, well, that touch of class that we always saw?
I think so, but I don't think he was ever really given a run at it. You know, even in the England team, I don't think anybody really believed that he could do that for a long period of time. I think it was, well, he can do it for, you know, a match or two matches. I don't think he ever really got a run. I still think he can do it. Well, he did it last night. I'm not saying he can do it in every match, but I think he has the ability to do it. And at this stage in his career, I think it's probably his best position. Because he did well last night, as we know, because the crowd were on to him a little bit early on, Nathan. Mm. You know, like he made one or two misplaced passes. And you could tell the crowd were really on to him until he scored the first goal. And that was a big break for him to get the penalty, as we know. You know, it came back off the goalkeeper and he knocked it in. The second goal was well taken, the third one as well. And he got better as the game went on. But again, it shows you how fragile the crowd's loyalty can be. They were definitely having a go at him. But by the end, he was a hero, and quite rightly so too.
So Sam Allardyce technically wasn't in charge last night. David Unsworth was a pains to point out that he selected the team. So Sam Allardyce in at Everton, we've Alan Pardew in at West Brom, neither club taking a massive risk. Any great surprise that Big Sam is back again?
No, because I mean, I think Sam said about 15 years ago this was his last year, or if he didn't get a big club he was going to retire. This is about 15 years ago. He definitely said it at Crystal Palace last year, this is the end. You know, I'm not going back. I'm retired from it. I don't blame him. I mean, the temptation to take over the club with the potential of Everton doesn't come every day of the week or every month of the year for you. And you know, I think you know Unsworth was definitely out of his depth, Nathan. You know, he might take credit for last night, but don't forget he left Rooney on the bench for the whole 90 minutes in the last match. So he wasn't even in the team. So I think it was a bit too much for him. But it won't be too much for Big Sam. I think, you know, Sam has proven himself with Sunderland and with Palace that he can do the job in this particular situation. I think he's the man. I mean, if I were to, let's put it this way, I wouldn't fancy going on holiday with Big Sam. But if my life depended on it, as the life depends on Everton at the moment, I would employ him to do it as well.
I'd say there's a reality series in that, though. Yourself and Big Sam off on holidays.
I don't even know him. I think I met him once, and that was it.
Yeah, well, Keith Andrews was in with us earlier, who played under him, and has only good things to say about his influence and his management style. I just wonder, you mentioned what he did at Palace and Sunderland. It was survival. It was saving. And everything we've seen from Everton since the new owners came in was all about, well, all talk about ambition. If it goes well, and even a couple of wins, and they're already probably up into mid-table, has he got it in him? Have you seen throughout his career he has it in him to get a side playing a decent brand of football that could go and move up and could contend for even a Europa League position this season, that maybe this actually he could see out the 18 months even longer, that he could take on Everton as some sort of a project?
Well, I think he'll try. You know, the first thing he has to do is get him out of trouble. I think he did a very good job at Bolton, particularly. They weren't renowned for their attractiveness in the way they played, but they were very, very effective. I don't think they were. He was ever... won a crowd over at West Ham. He didn't really win them over as an attractive side. I think Crystal Palace was a scrap, right enough, which he did extremely well. Sunderland was a scrap, he did well. So you can only do what's in front of him. I think, you know, Everton are still in the scrap. They're not out of it by any means. But that 3 points last night was invaluable to them. But I don't think you're ever going to see an expansive Everton under Sam Allardyce or any other club he's in. I think he'll be very effective, and he's very, very good to take a club that's in trouble out of trouble, and that's all Everton are bothered about at the moment. But I can't see it being a flamboyant club at any stage under Big Sam.
You were part of a team that saw a new manager come in, and probably the most famous example of it not working and there not being an improvement and there not being a bounce and players buying in, and it just never worked under Brian Clough. But generally, when a new manager comes in, is there always a bounce? Is there always a sense within the dressing room for people of, I have a chance here that I didn't have under the previous manager?
It depends who the manager was before. Don't forget, Brian Clough didn't take over a team that was struggling. I'm not saying you did, but he didn't take over a team that was struggling. Actually, he took over a team that just won the league, Nathan. So there wasn't as if there was a struggle. There was great players in the club. I think it was the way he approached it. You have to approach it in a certain way, in a reasonable way. And he didn't approach that in a reasonable way whatsoever. You know, when you come into a club and you tell the player sitting down for the first time, get your effing medals and throw them in the bin over there. I mean, that's not exactly the way to win players over. And he never did win the players over. But he was taking over a different club altogether. You know, I mean, he's taking over a club that won what is now the Premiership. Whereas Sam Allardyce and other people go into clubs where he's really struggling, and the threat is relegation. That's a different thing altogether. I mean, they're all difficult jobs, but they have to be approached in different ways. And I think, obviously, the way Sam Allardyce approaches the clubs in the trouble that they were in, which was proven the case at Crystal Palace and Sunderland in particular, where he did really, really big jobs, not just to get them out of trouble, but to get them out of trouble comfortably, which was really good management.
Great stuff, as always, John. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Thanks, Nathan.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.